All right, and welcome back after that two break song there. I hope everybody had a got them a spot of tea, poured them a cup, or boiled a pot at least anyways. But me and Dell are going to continue. We're going to continue on with conduct and many aspects of conduct.
Well, personal conduct. I suppose, you know, who are the people that you aspire to be, or who are the people that attract you to them? I mean, wouldn't they be people that speak truthfully?
Well, certainly. But the way you just mentioned the word aspire there, wouldn't that give somebody a impression of envy or something like that?
No, I mean aspire in sense of inspire.
Okay.
Right. I mean, are we attracted to people that are liars and deceivers?
Some people are.
Sociopathic people. We've all got a few sociopathic friends or whatever, you know.
Some people
But
seem
do they
to
actually inspire us?
Some people seem to. Anyway.
So, well, what's wrong with being nice to people?
I don't know personally myself, but a lot of people seem to have a problem with it.
Because they're charged up, you see. You know, if we're walking around looking for trouble, then we're gonna encounter it, aren't we?
Most assuredly.
Yeah. So the way a person behaves is surely personal conduct.
It is. A lot of times you will hear people say, not you personally, but you as a metaphor, you teach people how to treat you.
Well, you inspire that in the people around you. I mean, show me a man's friends and that'll tell me a lot about him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're knocking around with sociopathic people and social climbers and conducting yourself in a certain way, that probably isn't very inspiring to me.
That's
probably not the type of person I could trust.
That's probably why I don't have friends.
Well, you know, maybe that type of person is probably quite hard to come by. Maybe they've, you know, been through some hardships in themselves and they've come to that realization.
Yeah.
And they're making that real then for them in their own lives.
Yeah. I found some over there in Kansas City, but I don't seem to have any around here.
Well, we got to reach out more, you know. Yeah. I guarantee you only have to walk into a few shops and you'll find an honest, hard-working, genuine bloke or girl there that, you know, would love to have a serious and meaningful chat about that you could develop a relationship with quite easily.
Probably so, yes.
And more than likely, their friends are similarly inclined.
Yep.
Because they're not probably, you know, I mean, a person that's chosen to be nice to people, chosen to live their life honestly, with integrity and fairness, they're probably not going to hang around with too many fools. They probably won't suffer fools too easily, you know?
No, they won't.
I mean, you know, conduct is much more than that, Joe. You gotta give with both hands. You know, even in a courtroom scenario there, you gotta show balance. Think about it. If you see, from the judge's point of view, he's looking down and most of the perps that come in front of him are nervous, you know,
guilty.
They're guilty, yeah. But they're showing all the signs of it. They're either in denial of their guilt and they're evasive and they're nervous and they're fearful, or look at it from the other point of view. Somebody that walks in and says, hey, you know, I'm doing my best here. I offered A and B and gave them the choice of same. You know, surely that's a much better person. You're going to be much more drawn to that person and going to be, it's going to evoke a more fair and positive response in the judge by approaching it like that. Like when the cop stops you, I mean, you can pull your own gun out and get shooting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can diffuse the situation and show a bit of balance and show that you're not a threat to him and you're delighted to see him and be all smiles and whatever way you want to approach it. It's your choice, you know, but the outcome is normally decided by your choice. He's trained in a certain manner, and he will respond in a certain manner if he meets aggression.
I guess that's true to a certain extent, but a lot of times over here, well, let's just take that scenario. Many of the police forces in small towns or medium-sized cities or big cities, they're pretty much brainwashed into believing that there is no money for the state, there is no money for the county, and the people are out to hurt them or kill them. And that's just an illusion that a lot of them are choosing to believe, I think.
But again, they're choosing to believe it. They're not questioning it.
Right.
You know, there's always a way of making money.
Sure, certainly.
One actually needs probably not a whole hell of a lot of money to actually survive and live.
No.
You know, I mean, if you look around, very few people are cold, hungry, you know, unless they have a psychiatric problem or something like that.
Or they're just lazy.
Or are homeless. But you see, we're taught to be lazy. That's what the TV teaches us.
Yeah. TV and government. Yep.
TV and fast food and, teaching us not to actually engage in society and to order our food in that is delivered to our door.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so there's pizzerias and all that type of thing opening up all over the place. While we can grow our own crops and we can simplify life and get a lot more nutrients and vitamins into us quite easily and raise our consciousness thereby, because if we're lacking nutrients, surely we're not functioning very well mentally. 80% of people out there, it's a statistic, are lacking magnesium. Deficient in magnesium, and that causes all sorts of physiological and psychological problems.
Does it?
Oh, it does. Yeah. You'd be surprised, you know. And quite often, then, if one in the house is lacking, is vitamin insufficient, most of them are.
Yeah.
Because they're by and large eating the same type of diet, the same type of food.
Certainly.
You know, they're eating mass-produced, processed foods full of salts and sugars, refined sugar and salts, the wrong type of salts and the wrong type of sugars.
Yep.
And, you know, rather than eating a spoon of honey, they're having 4 spoons of sugar.
Yeah.
You know, on a simple level, it all comes down to simple choices. Everything we do every day accumulates to who we are and our outlook and how we interact with other people. Surely. I can't change the world around me, but I can certainly change my approach to it, how I interact with it, and thereby change my own environment.
Yeah.
But if I'm waiting for it to be changed for me, I could be waiting a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You might be waiting a long, long time.
Well, rather than getting out there, if I'm waiting for somebody to knock on the door, when that knock comes, it's probably going to be government with a fee or a fine or a warrant or something that
It's probably not going to be opportunity, is it?
It's not going to be an opportunity knocking, no. Rather than getting out there, I mean, you know, if I like working with my hands, can't I build a table and sell it? Everybody needs a table. Everybody needs chairs. You know?
Yes.
Can't I do a carpentry course in the evening and get out and meet people? We're surrounded by opportunities.
That's right.
I mean, hey, you live in the land of opportunity, don't you?
Allegedly.
Well, that's the puppy you've been sold anyway, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And while they're giving with that hand, generally they're taking with another.
But hey, we're free over here, though.
Well, you're free, yeah, unless you're let's say you want to start a business. You got to register it and it's got to be regulated and inspected and
taxed
and away you're going, you know. I mean, again, back to your code of conduct and that type of thing. If you want to open a public house, you have to obtain a license.
That's right. You have to ask permission.
Yeah, and your conduct has to be good. You have to agree to the terms and conditions and abide by the terms and conditions, or your license is going to be revoked. And you ain't going to sell much alcohol without a license, because, you know, they've got a whole specialist outfit there that'll come in with a few letters on the back of their shirts and shut you down. And
yeah, well,
that's
I
the tobacco and what are they? Tobacco and alcohol crew, isn't it?
ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Yeah, so hey, you know, they've got a lot. They've got a lot of different things mixed up in that.
Yeah,
in that title, you know.
Yes, they do.
And I assume they've got the firearms to enforce it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And helicopters if needed.
Oh yes.
So, you know, practically everything that people engage with nowadays, in terms of business and all the rest of it, is being taxed more so and licensed and all the rest of it. And if they buy into all of that more and more, then should they're only increasing the power of government through their own fear and lack of understanding of what actually is. We all need water, we all need food, we all need heat, we all need to interact with other people. These are the basics.
Yes. Have you ever heard me say that?
No.
On air? I've said it quite a few times, you know. I mean, I will say, well, people are really going to have to scrutinize their lives. They're going to have to look at themselves in the mirror, and they're going to ask themselves how many of these little shiny trinkets or how many of these things that give us illusion of greatness they're actually going to need. Are we going to need computers? Do we need computers? Do we need cell phones? Do we need $100,000 cars or $500,000 houses or motorhomes or yachts? Or do we need fresh water and shelter and good food?
Well, those are the basics. Those are the things we absolutely need.
Yeah.
But are we getting deceived with all of the other shiny commodity goods?
Well, you see, that's the illusion that people have. More money makes you better. And it doesn't.
Well, it gives you more choices, right? But it quite easily fills your own private computer up quicker, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because you've got to work harder. You've now got a social status to maintain. So you need a snazzy car. You need the latest iPhone. You need the latest gizmo equipment. You need sat-nav. You need you need all of these things, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And yet you don't.
Right.
But it's your beliefs get altered quite easily, and you buy into that, and suddenly now you know you need to be a member of Better Country House.
Right.
So. Eat in better restaurants, and so you need to work harder, and you're actually more of a slave, even though you don't realize it, you know. You see, in that versus equality is probably the root of most evils, you know. As in, okay, I'm now working in Wall Street, I've got the best $5,000 suit and, you know, $2,000 briefcase, and, I've got quite a big office, fairly well high up there in the in one of the better buildings. But the rent is phenomenal. I have to perform more. I'm away from my family more. I'm commuting more. I'm having to eat in the better restaurants to be seen and socialize and all the rest of it. So my $5 drink is now a $10 drink when I want to have a drink. And if I want to... a sandwich, it's now a $50 sandwich versus a $15 sandwich, you know?
Yes.
But is it any better? It's presented better. You know, I'm presenting myself as better, but
yes.
Am I really?
Right.
Like if I'm walking to work in the morning, if I decide to take the tube or the bus or the tram or whatever, am
or
I a better person? Will I step over a homeless person quicker?
Yes. Yep.
You know? That's, and what do I need afterwards?
Yeah.
A lot of very interesting people have left all that behind them and realized that it was all, that they just were sick of the chase all the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you happen to mention homeless there twice, and you also mentioned stepping over someone who's homeless, lying on a sidewalk. I have personally seen, and I've seen videos online, where people in big cities will take advantage of that sort of a situation. There was a video I've seen where somebody followed a man that was apparently homeless or allegedly homeless. You know, he sat on the street, or he sat in his wheelchair on a corner. But yet, at the end of the day, the person with the video followed this man, and he wheeled himself back to his $75,000 Lexus and drove to his $400,000 home, because he makes $400 or $500 a day, clear and free, tax-free money. But yet, you know, you see those types of cases, but you can't condemn everyone that is homeless or everyone that begs for money.
Just, well, isn't he one in 100?
Yeah, exactly.
Or what about the other 99?
Or one in 1,000? Or, you know, I mean,
yeah, or one in 100,000.
Doesn't really matter what the number is. It's just the fact that there are homeless all over the world, and there are hungry and poor people all over the world that do that, beg for money. That
feeds into people's own fear again, you know. I mean, that's the meme that's coming out all the time. Well, if you give to somebody that's homeless, well, hey, you know, actually, they're living in a nice penthouse suite, and
right,
they ain't actually wheelchair-bound, and they're driving a Lexus.
Right.
I mean, how real and true is that?
Exactly. You know, I mean,
That might be staged. It certainly was blown out of all proportion.
Certainly.
It's not a true reflection of most homeless people.
No, it's not.
So if that's what's uppermost in our minds, if that's what's coming out of the TV screen or the computer screen, and we're believing that, we're it's increasing our level of fear all the time.
Yeah. I was in the store.
It's actually inhibiting us from doing that which we need to do, which is recognize that all are equal.
Yes, it was.
We're all born equal. Like, we're all born, you know, naked.
Yep. I was in my local store last week, just walking around picking some things up, and I didn't even notice this man until he come up and said something to me. He said, can you spare $1 so I can buy a donut? And I said, well, wouldn't you like a sandwich instead? And he said, yeah, I would. So I walked over there to the deli and bought him a $4 sandwich and handed it to him instead of a donut with a bunch of sugar in it. Sugar and fat in it.
Hopefully sat down and ate it with him. Had one yourself.
Well, I wasn't hungry, but I was in a hurry. I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I just bought him a $4 sandwich and told him have a good day.
Yeah. But again, you see, you know, that was an offer, and you accepted it. You considered it and accepted it, and you performed upon it, and he enjoyed it, and you said, well, hey, you know, that took all of 2 minutes.
Yeah, it did.
No. Yeah. But again, you see, most people would not want to engage with him, or would be fearful, or would be afraid he'd pull a gun or steal their wallet or la-di-da, you know?
Yeah.
So well done, you know, and the guy had a sandwich, and it's all good. But how many people would actually stop and buy the guy a sandwich?
Or even say a word to him?
Yeah, they'd be fearful to open their mouths.
Yeah.
Because it's just that we're filled up with fear. And repressed by it. And we got to lose that fear and start interacting again, you know?
Exactly.
We got to get out more and be less afraid when we are. And see things as they are, not as they're presented to us. Like, we'll say, right, back to government again, right? This failure to self-govern. That's probably the root of most of this, that people are, you know, sworn in to, from the moment they start school, to accepting authority and to doing what they're told and sitting in a certain chair and la-di-da.
Well,
and maybe end up then as an accountant because that's what their career guidance counselor told them that they should do.
Yeah. Do you think it's a failure to want to govern, or a failure to believe you can self-govern?
It's a failure in all of us that we're not more aware of what is actually happening.
Okay.
And by buying into it, by not actually thinking about it or not functioning on that level, because we're reducing our status all the time, you know, we're filling forms and defining ourselves more and more.
Well, we're seeing a false illusion on the television screen that you have to be thin and rich to be beautiful and anything else.
Switch off the TV if it's upsetting you.
Exactly.
It probably ain't good for you.
No, it's not.
So switch it off, you know. I mean, everything is choice. Every single thing is choice. We can believe all that. And you see, it's presenting all the time a very skewed version of what actually is in my community and where I am. Because it's beaming in images all the time of the worst atrocities and creating fear. I mean, really and truly, if something occurs on the other side of the world, it doesn't affect me that much directly. But if I'm now upset by it, depressed by it, lose myself because of that which is presented to me, then I'm not functioning for myself. I'm getting controlled and governed and frightened and fearful, and it's draining the life energy out of me.
Yes, it is.
So get away from it. Switch it off, you know. I know several people that were depressed and that switched off the TV, and hey, they didn't need any medication.
Yeah, got outside and got a little vitamin D in them, and things are peachy now, huh?
And started eating better and looked at their diet and looked at what they were doing and what they were involved with, and, you know, got away from negative friends and around more positive people and got involved and started making more determinations with being determined. And just one choice leads to another. When you realize all the choices we have, it in itself is empowering. Rather than going into a doctor and saying, hey, you know, I need Prozac.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's going to give you or something similar. And now you've appointed him to take care of your issue. And now you haven't addressed it yourself. So, again, all of that is beliefs. So lose the beliefs and start self-believing. Be the change we want to see.
That's right.
In our own lives. Rather than surrendering all the time that which should be in ourselves, reawaken that or get in touch with it again.
Yep.
You know, I mean, isn't that what all these inspiring people are constantly telling us? You know, all these religious leaders, they're saying, hey, you know, get close to God. Well, if God is in me, I need to get close to myself maybe, you know?
That's right.
God ain't going to knock on my door and say, hey, you know, how can I help you?
Yeah.
I got to knock on his door and say, you know, I've helped myself. How can I help another? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know. So it's actually quite different to our beliefs or what's being presented to us all the time.
I had an interesting interaction with one of my Facebook friends last week. Also, I think I don't really need to find it, but what it boils down to is I saw some sort of a video where there was a religious leader. He was a former governor of one of the states here, and it boiled down to he said God created government, so we need to be subservient to it, you know. And that really struck me, because he is a so-called leader. He was a former governor, and he's looked at as a influence on people.
Well, that's straight away. Anyway, to me, that's he's got that quite wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Because in my determination or my opinion, as is the opinion of most religions in the world and most people walking the globe, God created man, and man created government.
Yes. Well, that's what I try. You know, that's the way I see it too. God didn't write the Bible. God didn't create the church. God didn't create government.
No, but But yet all these truths are interwoven with the Quran and the Bible and most religious teachings, you know. It's now it's become altered by man that now suddenly we have go so we're born into a situation where God created man created government.
Yes.
But now through our belief system we believe that government controls us.
Yes.
And by doing so, surely we're removing ourselves from God. We're placing government in between man and God. And isn't that on a simple level? And I'm not preaching religion or any of the rest of it, but I'm just saying, whatever created us, if we believe that our creation is controlling us, then we're losing our sense of man in all of that,
Yes.
or our consciousness.
Yes, but it was just the fact that this Facebook friend come back to me and told me he said yes, God did create government, and then he put some sort of a biblical psalm, or I don't know, it was a biblical link, to whatever it was, like
Well,
Psalms.
you're in a country that a few hundred years ago was roamed by buffalo and Indians.
Right. Yeah.
Indians operated in tribes. They were aware of the buffalo around them and the sun rising and setting every day. But
Yes.
they operated in small community groups and they moved on following the food and lived quite happy lives. And they didn't read the Bible or they didn't, they had their own beliefs and that type of thing, but they probably didn't. They probably empowered themselves more. So if they needed
Well, they believed in
clothes, they skinned a buffalo and they cured it and
they had their
made.
deities, but they were they were the natural animals. They were the hawks, the eagles, the wolves, the bear. They had
They
their
had
own
respect for
deities.
all of those things
Yeah.
because they needed them.
Yes. And they
Right.
worship, they give praise to the sun, they give praise to rain, or they ask the gods for rain, or they asked whatever deity it was for some sort of a fulfillment.
Yeah, but they didn't stop eating.
No.
They didn't stop drinking water. They didn't believe that those things were above them. They believed that they were participating in and enjoying all of those obvious pleasures or needs, you know.
Yeah. Have I told you before, Dell, that there are some TV shows popping up here in the last few years that are sort of promoting a simpler life, people going living out in the woods, building their own homes and living off the grid, so to speak. There's quite a few shows actually promoting this type of stuff, and I wonder why that is. I wonder if there's a element of the entertainment system that is actually trying to promote that.
Trying to tap into that.
Trying
Well,
to tap into that, yeah.
that's a bit false. I mean, if I choose to switch myself off from society at large and my community and all the rest of it, and I go and live over there and away from everybody and do my own thing and try, like, no man is an island and disconnect from it all, then aren't I probably setting myself up as a target or as a terrorist or, as an anti-government agent or whatever, you know.
Well, most of these shows, I have been seeing them, and they're not really doing that. They're not really promoting that type of rhetoric. They're promoting a simpler type of a life, and they are promoting to get it to trying to get away from the corrupt society, but they're not really so much preaching the rhetoric of anti-government or anything like that.
Yes, but generally, when we see things like that evolving, or that it's sold to us initially as being a good idea. So, it's a good idea that we have social services until they start taking all the kids away from all the parents and breaking up communities because they're empowered to do so,
Yeah.
Whereas what that creates in us is that if I see a parent slapping a child, that I phone social services and empower them to take care of that issue. in my community, I might want to address that directly.
Yeah.
I might want to help the parent because obviously they're under, you know, they're under a lot of stress.
Well,
or they're not balanced. And likewise, help the child in the community by getting them involved in sports or whatever, you know.
Sure. Well, that would have been a time in America's past where, well, a time that there wasn't any social services or anything like that, where if something like that would have happened, whether it would have been a, you know, there is a difference. And I will admit that there's a difference between smacking a child on the rear end for doing something very unethical or not very smart, but a smack anywhere else might be considered abusive. But you know, there was a time, as I happen to mention, that somebody or more than one or two or three might have gone to that man or woman's house and confronted them in a different way.
Yeah, or they'd have been called in front of the elders and that there's a problem here and that, you know, maybe the mother needs a new husband. We'll patch her up there. Or,
yeah.
You know, or maybe that child would be better off with another family or whatever. But it would be within the community and it would be for a time and it would be an intervention to raise the profile of both the child and the parent within the community.
Yeah.
The mother and the community. Not to interfere and... you know, I mean, the mother and child wouldn't be castigated from the community and separated from it and told, fend for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we'll throw you upon the state, like, you know.
Throw you to the wolves.
Throw you out in the wilderness. That wouldn't occur, you know.
Throw you to the wolves, yes.
Throw you to the wolves, yeah. So we're sort of feeding more and more of the wolves around us in that sense.
Sure. Absolutely.
By not actually engaging ourselves, because we're getting more disengaged. You know, we're losing touch with reality and our communities and isolating ourselves and becoming more fearful of our neighbors. And all of these things seem to be occurring on an increasing level around us. So kids aren't seeing their grandparents because, you know, they're living in a different state and they have to follow the work and la-di-da, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or they're being resettled with other parents or whatever. All of these things are getting crazy, you know?
Absolutely they are, yeah.
And because we're sitting at home watching TV and having the food delivered and not interacting.
You know, not
and
interacting
if the pizza
with...
guy calls to the door, we're throwing the money at him and bye-bye.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's not as if we're walking in and sitting down in a community coffee shop or whatever and sitting down and having practical discussions about how we can actually affect change positively in our communities.
Yeah, yeah, well.
So we're getting told what's occurring rather than the participating. People. Look at the Swiss JAG system, right?
JAG.
It's called a JAG system where they have things, people vote in communities for local change. So look, if we've $100,000 to spend in the community this year that we've raised in taxes that people have contributed to. So do we want a new road or do we want street lighting in a certain area or are we going to put it into the hospital? Do we want to put another wing on or, you know, we need to plan for or build a school or whatever. But people have a vote locally. And that also feeds into a national vote. So in June this year, they're having a referendum on four or five different points, you know, as to whether they want to give $1,100 a month to everybody. And that's your social welfare. And if you want to work, then after that, here, you know, go out and make more money. You know what I mean? It brings it back to the community and it gets people positively involved. Like, have you been asked to vote lately on whether or not they should install streetlights or build a new wing on a hospital or any positive choices? Or is all that decided behind closed doors in terms of somebody else's policy?
For the most part, it is. There are local votes on that type of a thing.
Are there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they don't get introduced until around the election times. They have, you know, they have their referendums around the local area.
And how often is there an election?
Every 2 years.
Right. So for a month or two beforehand, people are all talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. A few months. Two or
and
three
what
months.
What happens then for the next 2 years? Isn't that where the politicians come forward and say, oh, no. What I said in my manifesto there, I must apologize for that because it was a misprint.
Probably.
Or something, you know?
Yeah.
But what about the all the money that's been spent in the meantime on, you know, on things that you didn't vote for?
Yeah.
Or you didn't have an input in?
Yeah.
So unless you're pressing a button or unless you're participating in the meantime, you know, how much control do you really have?
Yeah.
Do you get an annual statement there, as you do if you join a local club? Don't you get from the treasurer an annual statement of account, and you can see where the money was spent, and you can question him at the AGM, him or her, on where that $40,000 was spent, you know, in relation to whatever it was spent on.
Yep.
Do you get that from so-called government? Or do they accept all of the money that you pay in your taxes and say, bye-bye, thanks very much?
Yeah.
You know? So there isn't that much accountability. So we'll say there now that just for example, in Norway, I believe, at the moment, they're also talking about a basic income at the moment. It started last December at, I think it was $1,100 a month. And now they're talking about putting it to the people and setting up little... you know, specific groups, so it's not going to be for everybody, and they've reduced it to $500 a month, you know, because it got stalled in Parliament. Likewise, in Iceland, there was a news blackout when the people kicked their government out, they changed their government, and they wanted to create a new constitution by the people, for the people. Did you hear about that? Because it wasn't reported in any of the American or international media.
I know that
they're creating their own constitution. They did apparently come up with a constitution, but that has been stalled for the last year and a half in Parliament. Parliament doesn't want to give them their own constitution. It's stalled.
Yeah,
lots of these things get lost in...
there's too many lobbyists that have their hands out with money, and too many politicians have their hands out.
The turkeys never, you never find a turkey voting for Christmas, do you?
Thanksgiving, no. No, you
or
don't.
Or Thanksgiving, yeah?
No.
So, you know, if the turkeys are aware like that Thanksgiving is coming, they'll generally be uncontactable. They're going to head out on the range, aren't they, given the choice?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that seems to what has, you know, it's very hard to, very hard to get around government given that it's already set up. It's more or less a constant around us, you know, that it's only I can change in relation to how I address it.
I think if I remember correctly, I do recall that the Icelandic government arrested some bankers and they arrested some institutions that were, you know, doing corruptive things, and they pretty much forgave, or they told the bankers that they were going to forgive all of the so-called alleged debt that they owed, and they started from scratch.
Well, that was known as the pots and pans revolution, wherein they surrounded the parliament and they said, lads, out.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
You ain't going to guarantee all this debt of one or two private banks and get us to pay for it forevermore, and our children and our grandchildren aren't born yet.
Right.
So they ousted their government and they popped a few of them in jail, some of the main deceivers, we'll say, and popped a new government in there.
Yes.
You know, a few of the people. But I think the population of Iceland is only a few hundred thousand. So they were, you know, it was probably much easier to do that than where you have millions and billions knocking around in on a huge continent, you know. So change probably starts locally in that sense, that Iceland was quite easy. See, what they were doing in Iceland was crazy stuff in the banks. They were giving several percent interest rates, and they were getting money from all over the world. They were approaching I know some of local councils and that type of thing were buying bonds in Icelandic banks and lost all their money.
I think as of 2016, Google tells me that there was 331,778 people.
Yeah, a few hundred thousand. Yeah.
Yeah.
371,000 people. Yeah.
331. Yeah.
Right. So I'm not far out with my figure. We'll call it 300,000. So.
Sure.
Wrong figures. I'm sure there's a few infants still in hospitals and a few old people there with dementia and things like that that we can discount just for the fun, for the sake of this argument. We'll just call it 300,000.
Yeah? I can actually drop a pin on a map on right where I'm standing and go out within a 100-mile radius, and there would be that many people around here.
Yeah. But suddenly they were a huge influence, or they were taking all the money and paying, it was like a huge Ponzi scheme, paying very, you know, quite large interest rates and getting money from all over the world into their banking system and making a fortune, you know, and they were suddenly they thought they were flying it.
Well, that's
until the crash came.
That's what elites and governments do.
Well, they were gambling, you know.
Well, that's what elites and governments do. Yes.
Yeah. But they don't. They never gamble with their own money.
Oh no! Why
they
would
were gambling with the so-called public money?
Yeah,
the,
why
the
would
government were going to underwrite all of the bankers' losses?
Why would a crook gamble with their own money?
Why well, would give the choice? Yeah, give them the choice if they're empowered to do so.
That's, well, allegedly.
But that's where they're not accountable to the people. You see, and that's where all that illusion creeps in.
Right.
You know, unless you have direct democracy, then you don't have democracy. Unless the people are actually actively participating, and it's based in local communities, and comes from that. Because yes, we all like street lighting, and we all require pavements, and tarred road surfaces, and schools, and hospitals. But we're probably paying for most of those anyway, you know. In fact, we're paying for them all anyway, but it's the margins are increasing, so the quality of the schools and the government funding for the schools is decreasing all the time. Probably getting spent more and more on security over there with, and regulating the students more, is it?
Actually, more of it's going into offshore banks than what a lot of people think.
Yeah. Well, if people only knew how much money they're siphoning away, they'd be less inclined to feel that they had to give it all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or they certainly want more control of where it is going.
Yep.
So again, anything given is gladly received, and say bye-bye to it.
Yep.
And if somebody gets, if it's spent on, let's say you give $10,000 tax dollars, for argument's sake, right?
Okay.
And if that sponsors a few bombs in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria, you don't see the connect between that, because you expect it to go to be spent in your local community on street lighting or the things that you need in your environment.
Right.
But if it pops out of a, if it pays for a drone and somebody gets, a family gets blown to bits in Syria, you don't really see that connection between your tax dollars and it, but yet it's your military that's doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's you guys that are doing that. So people don't connect. They don't join the dots. There's a lot of dots out there that just don't seem to be joined by people if they're full of fear and otherwise engaged, you know, programmed up and not looking at actually what is occurring.
People make the vast majority of their decisions on fear.
Well, this is it, you see, but fear is our greatest enemy. Fear is my greatest enemy. If I'm fearful, I'm not functioning. If you're fearful, then you're going to get develop health problems or not focus on that which is important. You know, if you feel you can't do something because you're constrained, you got to register it, license it, la-di-da, got to pay all these taxes or... You know,
yeah. But as we happened to mention there a few minutes ago, where do some of these taxes go to? I heard something Well, I seen some sort of a meme on Facebook earlier today that the Pentagon lost another, I don't know what it was. It wasn't a stupid, I mean, it was stupid to me, but, you know, it wasn't like $2.3 trillion like it was on September 10th, 2001, but it was like $440 million or something like that. They just, oh, we don't know where it is. Poof, it's gone. Duh. You know, I mean, I don't know. But,
Well, they'd have to crank up the printing presses there and borrow a little bit more money into circulation, yeah?
Probably so, yes. Mm.
Upon which, then, you'll all be paying interest, and it all helps with the whole usury side of things, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I heard another interesting thing on one of Vin's other pods, and it makes a lot of sense. A bank doesn't really care. Well, I guess they do care about the money that you were supposed to pay on your mortgage, but they're more concerned on the interest than are they than they are on the principal.
Well, they can always create a few more credits and create a bit more
interest
borrowing. It's the it's that I factor. I mean, the whole thing can be reduced to principal is always less than principal plus interest. That simple equation.
Yeah.
And that interest is what eats us up. Because if you borrow, say, $100,000 to build a house, right, you got to repay over time, we'll call it $200,000.
It's actually almost $500,000.
Well, okay. You know, but we'll call it that I factor, that interest factor.
Yeah.
You know, that's not borrowed into circulation. So there's less and less in circulation all the time, in reality.
Yeah.
You know, so there's more and more interest and more usury all the time. And now it's interest on interest on interest on interest. And that's your national debt clock there mounting.
More and more fiat. Piled upon fiat, yep.
And less value behind it. Well, in terms of less value for you.
But
More value for them because they glean more assets. They glean more control all the time. It's that I factor is eating into everything.
They don't really care what the they don't really care what the value is because they have the presses and they can print all they want.
Well, it's actually a private banking system. It's not a public banking system anymore.
Right, right.
People have this. People don't actually examine that at all. People have this illusion or this belief that they are deluding themselves into thinking that it's the federal banking system operating under.
People have this illusion that it's called the Federal Reserve and it's a federal office, and it's not. It's a private bank.
You see, they're not borrowing from each other or not borrowing from a community. It's not like a credit union or something like that that feeds back into the community. It's a national banking system. It's a privately owned banking system. I mean, who owns the Fed?
Private banks do.
Yeah, the International Bank of Settlements based in Basel in Switzerland. Huh. They own they own your Fed, they own the European Central Bank, they own all these central banks in different states around the different countries around the world.
Uh-huh, okay.
And they float bonds into them, but the guys pay back with interest. So effectively, they've got the printing presses. They create the credits. You see, when you walk into a bank now, you don't... it isn't your money that you're getting back. You're borrowing money back into existence. Like, money should be floating around in the community. You know, the paper dollar bills.
Yes.
So, for example, you call a plumber and you give him $100 and he goes and he pays his butcher. And his butcher pays his electrical bill with it. And that money is supposed to stay in the community. But it doesn't. It constantly gets lodged back into the bank. And anything you pass in over the counter, they own. They give you credits for it. That's in your contract with them. That's when you open a bank account. That's what you do. You wave bye-bye to your money when you float it in over the counter. They accept it. Hey, lovely.
Yep.
But the government has to borrow that into existence. Or you have to borrow that into existence via a mortgage or whatever, you know. But the money never really leaves the bank. There's only maybe, I think it's 3%. Of so-called money in circulation is actually hard currency.
That's probably
so it's
true.
97% ones and zeros on computers flying around.
Yeah, I've heard the statistic that the dollar is only worth little less than 3% of what it was in 1913. So,
well, because of the usury factor, yeah. But I mean, it's only paper anyway. It's only a belief system anyway. You know, it's only as good as the receiver believes it is.
Yes.
In terms of in the value in the community.
Well, that's it's in a difference of the wording. I think before 1913, the dollar bill had something to the effect of it was a promissory note backed with silver. And now it's a promissory note for debt.
And yet, right, there are these nuggets of truth around us. I believe in North Dakota, you do have a public banking system. I believe that they only pay 5% tax and 4% VAT.
Okay.
On their goods up there. And I believe that anybody can research that because it is a public, and they loan the money then from their public banking sector into the communities. So they build the roads and all the rest of it, and they do all of that. And you know, build the schools, build whatever they need to do. But that it's publicly owned in the state of North Dakota. And that's one of your 52, is it 52 states?
50.
50 states, right. So 49% of them are privately owned. 1% of them is operating, or one of the states, sorry, it's probably a lot less than 1% in terms of population. Up there, touching on Canada, North Dakota. Google that, and you'll see that it's a public banking system and that they can do all sorts of, have a look at the economy up there. Have a look at what they're actually doing up there. They're operating, you know, with a very low unemployment rate and getting great things done by comparison with their nearest neighbors, you know? Actually, they've never run a deficit in compared to all the other states. All the other states are apparently bankrupt, aren't they?
Probably.
But then I suppose if you have governors like Arnold Schwarzenegger and that type of thing, you're probably going to be even more bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he comes from an accounting background, does he?
No. No, I don't believe he does.
Is he still governor there?
No, not anymore.
All right. You know, he served his time. Did he serve the people? I don't know, but he certainly served.
He served his friends.
Well, he had a good time there for a while. And
he served his friends, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, again, people elected him, apparently.
Allegedly.
So he served his term. That's how that, you know, when you hear a politician talking, they'll say, oh yeah, I'm serving my term. Whatever happened to serving the people?
Yep.
Whatever happened to getting the books out and actually having a look at where the money's going, where it's coming from, where it's going, and what can we do in between?
Yep.
So he ran one of the biggest deficits, I think, that state's ever seen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm not wrong. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left in this hour here, Del.
Yeah. I mean, he was probably a great actor.
Oh, well, I don't know about great, but...
Well,
if
he kept
you asked
saying
him.
He'd be back. He kept saying he never left. Like, he kept saying he'd be back, didn't he?
I think
there was always a sequel there.
I think he did, yes.
maybe he's still acting, governor or whatever. Right. So, look, basically, to sum it up, so I suppose I and we got to decide to take it to them in terms of how we relate with the whole government and society at large around us. And that all comes down to personal choice.
It does.
So we can find these nice nuggets around us and that type of thing. You know, islands, we'll say, where the grass is greener and things are running better and all the rest of it. And we can try and magnify that. We can open up the discussion about that, increase awareness in our friends and in ourselves. Or we can be blindly led along. Because we're doing a great job of it, aren't we? I mean, there's no poverty, there's no homelessness, there's no... deficits.
There's no crime. You
know, the dollar is increasing in value, and
that's right. There's no crime or corruption. And...
Yeah, all of these things are self-evident truths around us. That it's all heading towards some sort of a crash scenario.
It is. It is. And
the crash is going to be bigger every day that it keeps on speeding up. You know,
it does.
At some stage or another, something's got to give, and that. Give is probably that we start giving ourselves a chance to become conscious or raise our consciousness or start awakening or start making little choices in our own lives that improve our daily lot.
Indeed. So, thank you again for coming on, Del.
No problem at all. Will we play them out with a nice tune?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's hit that button, and we'll come back maybe next week or the week after, and let's talk about religion or something the next time, something controversial.
All right, everyone. Thank you for coming out, and thank you for staying up so late.
Good talking to you.
Hi, good talking to you too, Del. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. And see everyone soon.